हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
412 Okay, so these are explanations of Krishna on how Krishna's form is not material, even though it's visible to those who are material, right, when it comes to performance pastimes. Okay, let's start with back with 409. The cause of seeing my spiritual form is my active desire alone. Having said this in one line, he then says, suddenly by my will I will disappear. The root nas means to disappear. 412. You should not see me as a form made of material qualities. That is material maya created by me. Or, seeing that form is caused by my spiritual energy of mercy and desire. Manifested by me alone, you should not see me as a form possessing material qualities. Purport. Maya is the illusory energy. Vishvakosha says, Maya, Maya Dhambhe Kripam Yam Cha. Maya means cheating and mercy. Trikanda Sesha says, Maya Syach Chambari Bhudhyo. Maya means cheating intellect. Or there's another meaning. If you have a spiritual form of knowledge and bliss, how can one see that with one's eyes? What you see is my spiritual energy, also called my energy of desire or mercy, which is manifested by me. Maya, Maya, Shrishta. The word Maya sometimes means the Chit Shakti. Right? It's like Mayapur is called. It's Mayapur. It means the internal potency. That's the Chit Shakti. Yes.
It seems that this vision is very crucial for the devotee because the whole turning point is on vision. How we view Krishna and how we view, say, like Holy Dham or Goku or whatever.
Yes, yes.
So anything, it's a matter of vision.
Yes, yes. That's why the important thing is Shastra Chakshus. Being able to see through scriptures like that. And then that one is able, by the Lord's mercy, to see that way, and by seeing in that one way, one can see the Lord. Because, see, Shastra Chakshus, you see through scriptures, you see everything connected to Krishna. But whether you're seeing Krishna as Bhagavan personally, that's another thing. That's a further application of his mercy.
Right.
You know. But otherwise, we can see the other aspect. We see him as the deity. We appreciate him as the holy name. So we are in contact with the Bhagavan aspect. But it's just a matter of time before we see him as a person directly. So he's saying here is that when it comes to perform his pastimes, then when they're manifest, that means anybody can see it. But the point is like what you're saying, is even though they can physically see, they don't see. That's the thing. The materialist sees, but he doesn't see. You know, just let's say with the sage. You know, in other words, what the materialist sees, the sage doesn't see, and what the sage sees, the materialist doesn't see. So the devotee will see the Lord as a person. The materialist will see material energy because anything he sees, it's material energy. That's how he's going to interpret it. Because the important thing is, technical means you have the two aspects, what your senses can actually perceive, so that the senses could perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. That's something very special. But more important than that is how you interpret what you see, because that's what we're always doing, as we discussed yesterday, is that when you see something comes in through the eyes, then you're going to interpret that according to your samskara. So if your samskara is material, you're going to interpret it as material. But devotees, because they are engaged in spiritual activities, they have that spiritual samskara. So then, seeing the Lord, they will understand in that way. So when they go to the temple, they see the deity, they see Krishna. But a materialist will see an idol. So it's just a matter of how the ability to see is more than just the senses. But in this case, means the devotees, they can see both. Right? They can see the Lord's form and understand it's the Lord. The materialist only sees the form and doesn't actually see, understand that it's the Lord. Is that work?
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore you get in the colloquial, you get what is it? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
Right. Because there's what you see and then how you interpret what you see.
Yeah.
It's just like one person is seeing, some very nice fashion object, and they're thinking, this is wonderful. Another one is thinking, oh, these corporations and all this mundane, like this. The same thing.
There's the other thing. There's the face only a mother could love.
Yeah, I forgot. Yes, that's good. Yes.
I was also thinking that the Tasta Shakti, looking at pastimes of the Lord, and then sees it as material, then it goes down.
Yes.
And sees it as spiritual, then it elevates.
Go up. Yeah.
So it's really easy.
It's easy. That's the whole thing. Is all this is just to convince us that we just have to change our view, but changing our view means changing our values, because you see according to your values. Right? According to value, you act. That action creates a samskara. So your interpretation of situations by your samskara is because of your values. So you change the values, everything's changed. So it's something that can be done in a moment, literally. You can in a moment just surrender to Krishna and the whole process is accomplished. Or if that doesn't work, then there's the pancharatrik system of sadhana bhakti and going through like that. And if that doesn't keep one fully busy, then there's all you add into it all the social and occupational elements that are there in the the varnashram system. And if that's not enough, then you got a problem. Then it just says be a nice guy. So on one level, when devotees say we don't have to do all this, we should be nice, we should be good and all that, it is a recommended process if you can't follow the other three.
Right.
Like that. So it is authorized, and therefore they feel confidence in doing it, but they shouldn't present that it's equal to the second option.
It's also indirect.
It gets very indirect because it's not even technically connected to devotional service. Like that, it's just connected to piety, and so piety as a platform is better than impiety. Right? So that's why even, therefore, being a pious person, then the next step is that if you can't do that, then, you can be a Mayavadi or something. Because at least you're following rules, you're talking about spiritual and all this, though you're not that well situated. But it's not as good as the position of a karmi, because the karmi meaning who's following the pious forms of karma, is that the karmi, he's willing to work and set goals, and the whole personal interactiveness is dynamic for him. While for the impersonalist, it's not dynamic. So they have a firm, even though they're closer, you could say, on the spiritual platform, they're farther away on the
the cultural or the practical application. So intellectually they're close, but as far as application they're farther away. While for the karmi they're closer practically, philosophically they're farther away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of the two, the karmi is actually better situated. Right? Because in application, that's where you're going to actually get the benefit. So that's what we were discussing when we were discussing the point about when you look and you see options for sense gratification, that means material. But if you look and you see options for serving Krishna, that's spiritual. That's what we're trying to do, is change our vision. Where is it? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The sensuous gaze of inspection.
Oh yeah.
That's the karmi, you know, the materialist. Right? So they inspect everything with the sensuous gaze to see, you know, what can I get out of anything. I remember it's just
It's not only to the object, it's also to people.
That's the thing, the field of action. When you look into the field of action. So it means anything that you can connect to your body, that in other words, you would consider either from eye or mind. You know, I can control by seeing it, you know, perceiving it, or mind that this is, that it belongs to me, family, money, clothes, position, all these different things. So both of them. So it's when we say the situation, that includes the people. Right? Because Sankarshan just means all the elements. Prajumna means generally then you're going to interact. You know. So that's the thing, is if from the platform of Sankarshan you just see opportunities to serve Krishna, then when you apply Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva, it'll be devotional. But if the platform of Sankarshan is material, then it'll be material desire, material need, material action. So the action being the final element, it always follows the others. And so if the situation is material, it will be material. If the situation is spiritual, it will be spiritual. That's why we could say is the materialist never does anything of value. Because it's always going to be from material perspective. And that perception being material, their action is going to be material, therefore it's going to be a waste of time.
So can we say that practicing vaiti, then we see as material, and then we try to connect it to spiritual. And then rock, we immediately see as a connection.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Because the point is, spontaneous means you see, yes. You know, it's just like, oh, it's time for Mangalarti. Yes, let's go. Or, ooh, it's time for Mangalarti. Really tired, but yeah, you know, we should go. So like that. That'll be the difference. Okay. And then slowly, it's just, no, this is to be done. This is the right thing, so you just get up. The mind doesn't waver. But with time from doing that, you get a taste. And then it's not because you're supposed to do it, because you want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going from convincing yourself to you're fixed, you're stable, to it being spontaneous. You know, just like we see the neophyte platform, then you have that stage in between nishta. So nishtha is that fixed position, then the next platform is ruchi and asakti. So then the taste is there, spontaneous. So that's your natural development. Though you may find elements go all the way down. There's some people that just after joining, there's certain aspects of devotional service they're very spontaneous about, and they're able to sustain that. That just means it's continuing from previous. They were developed in those areas. That wasn't the weakness. And areas where they're slower or they have problems, that was their weakness previously. And so then that's how Prabhupada says, if you analyze, you know, think about it, you can understand what were the position in previous lives. Mm-hmm. Because it's only going to follow these things. You know, it's not going to be going to do something else. Mm-hmm. You know? Okay. Yes?
Maharaj, you think that devotees see Krishna in their deity form, but and they have other personal devotees, they see, but they don't understand Krishna. So
sometimes they don't even see.
Okay, yeah.
One devotee was telling me he brought his mother to the temple and she showed her the deities, and afterwards she says, no, you know, such nice flower arrangements. What were those for? You know, all they saw was flowers. They didn't see deities at all.
But why for us, even though it's Krishna, we, like you mentioned before, some planets, that sometimes we, like, not have the relation with Krishna, and if somebody comes and starts talking, you know, it doesn't happen?
Yeah, that's there. I mean, it doesn't mean we don't forget. It means the devotee, when he looks at the deity, he's seeing Krishna. Of course, Krishna's reciprocating on his level of realization, but he's not seeing materially, he's seeing spiritually. It's just how much he's able to appreciate. That's another thing. Does that make sense? Okay. But then we get distracted.
But don't get distracted so much.
You can, I mean, you could try what the horses use, you know, that's quite good. You know, those things on the side, you know. So. There was one devotee, I think they told me about him. I don't know if he was in our temple or if he was in another, no, I think he was in another temple. But he was famous. He wore a harmonica stand, you know, that you can put a harmonica on and play, you know, guitar and all that. And it, instead of the harmonica, he put a picture of Krishna. So all they could see was Krishna. So whenever he walked around, there's only Krishna, there's no Maya, right?
Like that. And then putting the bhajan inside.
Well, this was before those kind of days. This was before the walk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
this would have been like... Like, I think maybe, I'm not sure when, but it would have been before 73.
Oh.
So it would have been like that. Because he was already famous.
And then he fell down the stairs. And
yeah, I'm not sure what happened. They said he wasn't around anymore. It didn't seem to work. One day he woke up and there was a hole in the picture. Yes. Uh, 413. The word Maya sometimes means the Chit Shakti. In the Chaturveda Shiksha, it is said, the Lord is endowed with His eternal energy arising from His Swarup. It is called Maya. Thus, eternal Vishnu is Maya, or composed of His spiritual energy. This is the meaning of the Shruti text in Sri Madhva's commentary. Because it's His energy. Right? That's the manifestation of it. It means, what's the body? The body is the manifestation of the mind. The mind is in a particular form of the consciousness of the soul. You understand? So that's how, like that. So Krishna, being who He is, then He manifests as He is through His own energies. So this is just the points to catch, because otherwise we take, there's Him and His energies, but the point is they're non-different. At the same time, they're different. Right? So His energies are manifested separately, but at the same time His own form is His internal potency. Same time as the internal potency that's manifested separately is still Him. Mm. So that's the point. He's in a very unique category. Yes. He's that also. Yes. Okay, this gives proof for the meaning of Maya. The Maha Samhita says, Atma Maya, touch Icha Shyat. His desire is His own Maya. Nigantu says, Maya, Vayunam Jnanam. Maya means knowledge. Therefore, you should understand that my form is concentrated knowledge. You should not think that my form is made of material goodness. Right? Mm-hmm. So it is Maya, but it's His internal potency is Maya. Mm-hmm. And Maya also means knowledge. Right? Therefore, the you have Jnana and Bala. So the Jnana is a feminine quality. Right? Like that. That the Lord reveals Himself by His mercy alone is also shown in Moksha Dharma. Hopefully by that. That's an indication possibly second canto will go fairly smoothly.
that we didn't freak out?
No, because when I just mentioned that jnana is the feminine feminine aspect with the bala, then everybody knows, okay, well, that's sankarshan and that's it, like that. But that would have been days of discussion before. You know, actually days. And then you have to do it, you know, so... see, 3 years of that, and it's so it's pretty good. That the Lord reveals himself by his mercy alone is also shown in Moksha Dharma. So because it's his own potency, and it's his icha, that's what I was saying, icha, right, the, what do you call it? Tad icha syat. Atma maya tad icha syat. So it's his own desire. So that means, not because you want to see him, he will be seen. It's because he desires to be seen, you can see him. Right? Because we have this idea of control. Because I want to see it, I will see it.
Yes.
No, it's if he wants to be seen, you can see him. Just what he says. If I want to be seen, I'm seen. And if I don't want to be seen, I won't be seen. You know, I'll manifest by my own potency. Because it's impossible to see spiritual and materialize, but I'll make it happen. And having seen, I will also just disappear. And there's nothing you can do about it. Right? So, in other words, it's under his control. Right, but and so therefore he controls everything. No one can control him. So the only thing that controls him is bhakti, is love. So if the devotee has affection, that's why he can see him, because that controls Krishna. Okay, quote: the eternal Lord, Lord of Lords, pleased with Uparichara Vasu, showed him his form. He is invisible to others, however. Mahabharata 12, 3, 2, 3, 11, 13, 15 through 16 and 18. Okay. Oh, so he's discussed again later. Yeah, because there seem to be some just parts missed. I mean, in this story, when he's first discussed in the first volume, you don't hear so much detail, so there must be more before.
Yeah, during the appearance of Satyavati.
It comes up again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. In the 12th.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is 12 of 18 or 12 of 100? Doesn't really matter. But
no, I'm not sure.
It still puts it much later.
Yeah.
Some verses are given to strengthen the statement that the Lord shows himself by his mercy alone. And just to make sure, because otherwise then there's always the thing that comes up, you know. If you give one verse, it's enough. One verse from Shastra is enough to establish the absolute truth. But then we may have doubts. So then you give many more, then it's okay. Well, maybe it's... Yeah. 416. Brihaspati, becoming angry, quickly raised the sacrificial ladle, Shruva, and struck the air with his shruk. Out of great anger, tears fell from his eyes. The shruk is the vessel used for throwing the offering at the fire. The shruk is the big one, and the shruva is the small one. 417, 418. All the devas have taken their share of the sacrifice which has been offered by making their appearance. Why Vishnu has not shown himself? Then the king, Uparichara Vasu, and all the assembly at the sacrifice pacified the agitated Brihaspati. Uparichara Mahavasu spoke to Brihaspati, who was very angry. Right? Because everybody came for the final offering. Like that, for their offerings, but Vishnu didn't come. So Brihaspati is very upset. So he said, "O Brihaspati, neither you nor we can see Vishnu, who has no anger, and whom you offer a portion of the sacrifice. Whoever gets his mercy alone can see him." Right? Why would we quote from him? Because he's counted as one of the three most merciful persons in the universe. Right? Nityananda Prabhu, Uparichara Vasu, and Vasudev Datta, is it? Or Vasu, no, Mukunda. Vasudev Datta.
Who has his heart?
Yes, that's Vasudev Datta. Okay. The portions offered by Brihaspati were accepted by all the devas. They all showed themselves to him and accepted the offerings. However, Vishnu accepted the offering without showing himself. So he accepted it. Thus Brihaspati became angry. Uparichara and the assembled persons pacified him. Also in the statements of the sages, ekta, dvita, and trita. Okay. I wonder how many brothers there were. After the Avavritas bath, Saraswati, without revealing herself, spoke in an affectionate and deep voice to give the Lord bliss. O devotees, how can you who are inquisitive see the Lord? Mahabharata 12, 338, 25, 27. Ekta, Dvita, and Trita are sages. Vak refers to the goddess of speech. Thus, by his own self-revealing energy, by a manifestation of his own desire, he appears to the eyes. He is not the normal object of seeing by the eye. Right, so it's just by his. The previous meaning of the verse, previous verse is given here. The Lord appears to the meditator's eyes by the Lord's Kripa Shakti. Without mercy, the eyes cannot see him. In this manner, the self-revealing, condensed knowledge aspect of the Lord is accomplished. Because the eyes, they have what they can see, you know, by the Lord's grace also. But the seeing the Lord is not what they do. Not these eyes. Right? But by the Lord's mercy, then one can see. 4:22. Thus it is said in the Narayana Adhyatma, though the Lord is eternally unmanifested, he can be seen through his own mercy. Who can see that Lord, the Supreme Soul, without that mercy? This and the next verse make the point clear. Padmapurana says, Krishna is called Arhokshija because he has a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The Lord will show himself to his devotees by the influence of his Shakti. Arhokshija means who is not known through the eye. Text 4:24. His form is all pervasive and limited. His form is all pervasive and limited. Okay. The one Lord is at once both pervasive and limited. Purport. It has already been said that the Lord's pastimes are without beginning. Later it will be explained that they are eternal. There is another doubt of the materialists. Activities belong to persons who are limited. Pastimes cannot belong to the Lord who is like the sky, unlimited. If we accept the first case, then, because the Lord is not eternal, his pastimes must not be eternal. There is a doubt about this. To this argument, the verse answers. The all-pervading Lord becomes limited only because the Lord becomes simultaneously visible to unlimited devotees, meditating on him with love. Okay, so in other words, he's limited that you can see him in this particular amount of space, right? His particular size. You know, he always mentions that very perfect human size. Right? He's not too big, not too small. Just the perfect size. So that would be what we would call meaning limited. All pervasive means he is everything. But we're able to see him because of that limited aspect. So he's both at once. It's not by being limited he gives up his unlimited element. And at the same time, he can be seen by unlimited devotees. You know, in a limited, you know, they see the limited form of the Lord, you know, and there's unlimited such forms seen by the unlimited devotees. So, still. Yes. 4:25. Thus, in the 10th canto, it was said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior, no front and no rear. In other words, he is all pervading. Because he is not under the influence of the element of time, right? Because you know, if you can go behind somebody, but there is no behind. Krishna is unlimited and not in direction. So, because he is not under the, you know how Prabhupada gives the example of the frog, Professor Frog. He's always wanted to be unlimited. Remember, I was once discussing about the frog. These really old frogs, when they get really old, they don't move. You know, they're sitting on the path you're walking. They just sit there. Young frogs will move out of the way. They sit there. Even you put your on their nose, they'll just sit. So this one, he was so puffed up. When you touch him on the nose, he pushes nose forward. You touch him on the side, he pushes side out. You know, whichever way you touch it, he would push out. You know, instead of push away, he'll push out. You know, so then that thing of unlimited, you can't. You know, he's. You know, so there's for the Dr. Frog that his bond is unlimited. So I guess when they get old enough, they become real. You know, Maya bodies. For him, he is... Oh, okay. In other words, he is all-pervading. Because he is not under the influence of the element of time, for him there is no difference between past, present, and future. So that's the thing. He is the Veda. He is the ritual. He is the chant. He is the results. He is all these things. It's him. There is no difference past, present, future. So this idea that the Veda can become old or archaic doesn't exist, because there is no past, present, future for Krishna. There's only him. There's only his existence. It's created for the element of past time. Here we're controlled by that time, but he's not controlled by it. Being absolute beyond relativity, right? So there's no element of right, wrong, this, that, it's just him. He is free from distinctions between cause and effect, although he is the cause and the effect of everything. So he's free from these distinctions, because then if there's always saying, well, if he's there, then who caused God? You know, he's free from that. He is cause, he is effect, but at the same time, he's not controlled by that. He's not... have to deal with that, just as what he desires happens. But they're non-different. It's not because he desired them, there's this whole process and something else is affecting it. He's causing it, he's affecting it. You know? So it's the unmanifested person who is beyond the perception of the senses had now appeared as a human child. And Mother Jashoda, considering him her ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.13-14. Right, so they're showing these different things. One that's being done for rasa, right? Like you see is Bhishma Dev in tasting rasa. He's showing these contradictions, right? So how these things work like that. So then here we see in the 10th canto, they're doing the same thing. So in that, then you learn all the technical philosophy, but at the same time, the reason it's there is not because of the taste of the technical philosophy. The taste is in the comparison between his position and what he's doing. Like that. Being the supreme, unlimited, absolute, you know, personality of Godhead. And here he's being tied to a mortar by Mother Jashoda. Right? Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? So, in other words, as we mentioned before, it's in the difference. Yes. How do you say that? Difference.
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 Yes.
Okay, so that what's it? And how do you say the vive la?
Vive la difference.
Yes. So because of that, why? Right now, as we discussed before, of all the cultures of the world, French are known for their appreciating taste. You know, rasa, right? So this is the element. Because there is difference, there is taste. If it's the same, where's the taste? That's the whole point. You know, so they have caught this one essential Vedantic philosophical point, right? So therefore, the greater the difference, one may ask, why in this very nice point of poetic rasa is this really technical point being given? Because then you see the greatest difference, so there's so much rasa there. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, Shivaram Maharaj wrote a whole book just on that one point where the gopis are asking him, you know, what does Atmarama mean? You know, does that mean that, you know, you're separate and don't interact with anybody, don't care about anybody, or, you know, what does it mean? So he wrote a whole book on that. Because here it is, the rasa dance is the most, you know, intimate and of all the expressions of rasa at the same time as he's completely aloof from that as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's being discussed there. The gopis are trying to appreciate that point. So purport. This is the proof that one person has the two qualities, limited and unlimited. Here is the meaning in a nutshell. Thinking that he had done wrong, Mother Jashoda bound her son, who is without limitation of space, being inside and outside, who exists simultaneously in all directions of the universe, and who is the universe. Since he is in control of Prakriti, as the Kshetragya, the knower, He is described as having the form of a human. The Shruti describes him as Dvibhujam Mauna Mudradhyam. He has two arms and shows the mudra of silence. Gopal Tapani Upanishad. He is devoid of having happiness from material senses. This means that his form is endowed with eternal, unlimited bliss. Right? So the senses act, they are only a medium for appreciating the activities done by the devotees through their senses, but done to please him. So it's the element that they're doing it to please him that pleases him. It's not the sense itself. Like that. That's what's said. Because he is the sense. And he's the one that makes the sense work. Mm-hmm. You understand? So the sense object, the principle of the sense, the tanmatra, the sense itself. Mm-hmm. Right? He is the eye that sees. He is what is seen. He is seeing itself. He's the experience gained from that. So if that's all him, why does he need to engage the senses to have any kind of experience or happiness? Because we do that to become happy. He is that. Mm-hmm. Right? So for him, that's not what's interesting at all. What's interesting for him is the expression of love. That's when the devotees function on that platform, then you have a common ground for relationship. But when we try to function on the mixed devotional platform, then those elements, those is not what's interesting to him. It's only interesting that you're taking something that you have attachment to, but you're connecting it to him. Mm. That's what's interesting to him.
Yes.
But what you're using is not what's interesting.
Yes.
Right.
Maharaj Krishna is everything except the relation of love with devotee.
Except. No, it means, of course, it's his Shakti, but he puts himself under, you know, through his own desire, under the control of his that Shakti. In other words, he's under the control of the Bhakti Shakti. Because the Bhakti Shakti is a combination of Samvins and Vladini. That combination. Because knowledge means the activities, all these different things. Right? And then the other aspect was then the hladini, that it's done out of affection. So activities done with affection, that's what controls him. So then he's under, by his own will, under his own maya.
Yes.
He's manifesting through his maya, so he's also, it means it's his fun.
Yes.
You know, that's how he works. It's Okay, this is also interesting here. The Acharya is mentioning being inside and outside. So the Mayavadi's point of sky being covered by the pot, it's still sky. Whether it's in the pot or out of the pot, it's still sky. Right? And if Brahman is consciousness, then what's in the pot is also just as conscious. It's not that the quality of sky changes.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yes.
You know, so the example is weak.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Like that. Text 426-427. The above two verses describe the two forms, limited and unlimited, revealed at the time when Krishna was bound up. In the same way, because when he was being bound, she couldn't tie him, so that's the unlimited form.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's a form there that she's working with that's limited. And then, due to her love, then he accepted to be tied by her. So that means the unlimited was agreeing to be limited by due to love. Right? So, as you mentioned before, that limited aspect is seen by the devotees. So he's one. Otherwise, everybody else is appreciating the unlimited aspect. You know, what we mentioned, the Brahman quality, the quality you're looking for, is like greatness or solitude or, you know, how you say, strength or shelter. But these are the unlimited qualities, the impersonal qualities. But here, then, there's that personal form that we are able to appreciate that in. Right? So that's even more mercy. And so it's the Lord's mercy that he's involved at all with us. Right? But this is where the real mercy is. Okay. In the same way, Krishna's pastimes are of two types, limited and unlimited. Thus, the eternal nature of his pastimes is clearly stated in the Puranas, Bhagavatam, and other scriptures. Purport. Just as Krishna has two forms through his inconceivable powers, he has two types of pastimes by his inconceivable powers. Thus, pastimes are clearly also eternal. Some persons will argue as follows. Since all pastimes involve action, they are accomplished even in their parts by having a beginning and an end. Right? Because this is overthinking the subject. Is that, okay, he's unlimited, he has unlimited eternal pastimes, but the lifting of Govardhan Hill had a beginning when he picked it up and then end when he put it down. You know, so they're still trying to find. In other words, they're caught on the words beginning and end, and they are stuck to this lexicographical. Yeah, who sits around and works these things?
Lexicographers.
Lexicographers. Yeah, that's the thing that changed the thing around. It makes it sound good. You know? Somebody says something, oh, that doesn't sound good. What about this? Yeah, okay. You know, so, yeah. Okay. Okay, some persons will argue as follows. Quote, since all pastimes involve action, they are accomplished even in their parts by having a beginning and end. Without beginning and end, the form of a pastime cannot be accomplished, because necessarily they all have beginning and end. How can the pastimes be eternal? Right? He shows they just go through these steps. They're using logic, but the point is they're arguing over terminology. They're not trying to actually catch the point. Like that. In answer, the Lord's form is established as infinite by the following statement. Eko pi san bahuda yo vipati. Though he is one, he appears as many. Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Ekan eka swarupaya. I offer respects to the one Lord with unlimited forms. Vishnu Purana. Then there is the following statement. Sa ekada bhavati dvidha. The devotee having one form became two forms. Chandogya Upanishad 7.262. This statement shows the Lord's associates also have many forms. Paramam padam avabhati puri. The supreme abode manifests as many. So it's not only the Lord does this, associates do this, his abodes do this. You know, so it's not just him.
Standard practice.
Yeah. Yeah. This shows that the Lord's abode is infinite in number. Therefore, the Lord's pastime should not be considered be limited and temporary. Though there is a beginning and end to the Lord's pastimes connected with his form, associates, and abode, as soon as a portion of the pastime finishes in one place, they begin in another, because each pastime continues without break somewhere else that is eternal. So the point is this, the Lord has unlimited forms. The associates have unlimited forms. The dham has unlimited forms. Therefore, when he performs, as he picks up Govardhan, that moment of picking it up, then the next universe he's picking it up, then the next universe, then the next universe. So it's going on, so it's eternally happening. Mm-hmm. So therefore, from that way, it's eternal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just want to clarify, you're saying that he's picking it up in a different place, but my understanding was that after he leaves this world, then he visits another world. Is he actually simultaneously performing?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's why there's unlimited universes, so it's all going on at the same time. Okay. Okay. Now that takes management. We're talking about some serious management. So this is what Yoga Maya does. Right? Yeah. So she's no small time.
Right.
You know, it's hard enough to get one production to work on time, let alone unlimited productions.
So that means when it says he comes once in a day of Brahma, that's all over the universe in different planetary systems he's appearing during that.
That means in different universes.
Yeah. Okay. It
means the Brahmandas.
Yeah.
He's appearing in all these, so it just moves from one to the next.
Right. Okay.
So it's unlimited. It's always.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why it's
you know, it's, I'm not sure if Prabhupada gave the example or if someone else gave the example. It's like, it means, well, just figured out it might be an archaic example. You have film on a reel. The first picture goes through. You see it, then it moves, but it's not the necessarily the best example, the sun. Just because we see the sun rising here, and then we think, you know, it's risen. But if you go back, you know, to some other place, it's just rising. So the sun is always just rising. So it's the same kind of principle.
Right.
That's, I think that's the standard example. Yeah. But I've heard this other one. But I think I only heard it once, so I'm not sure if it's Prabhupada mentioned or the Bodhi mentioned. Because the sun one will always work. The other one is like, you know, what are you talking about?
What's that?
All the pastimes of the Lord are eternal, and if we meditate on one of the pastimes, it's always connected.
It's always connected. It's always going on. And plus, the point is the Lord, there is no time and space for Him. So the point is it's always there. Yes. It's just a matter of what's manifested.
But it can be manifest in a different way.
There's always varieties, you know, but certain basic elements are the same. It's just like the cook goes into the kitchen, he has all ingredients, he can cook anything. So, but the principle is he'll cook, but when he cooks the same prep, he'll make some adjustments. You know? So it's always like that. It's always going on. So that's the point. In other words, certain things are nice, so those are done again and again. So you have these major pastimes. But in those major pastimes, then there's always a little variety. You know, like we saw between Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam, you're already seeing some variety. And in Bhagavatam also, sometimes talks about two appearances of the Lord. Right? Doing that with Mohini appeared, what, two times. Varaha we see two times. And someone else appeared three. He's in every particular. But there was someone who was mentioning about that they appear, you know, once at the in Manvantara. Some of them appeared a couple of times. He appeared three times.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so they sometimes they you know, and there's some slight difference, you know, like that when she appeared with the demons. She just was carrying the pot of nectar and distributing that. But when she appeared for Lord Shiva, she was playing with the ball. You know. Like that. So there's some slight differences. Like that. Okay, then, quote, here again, complaint. Well, it may be unbroken, but it can only be a different pastime because it's beginning again. No, this is not accepted, right? You know, it's just, you know, they're just not going to give up. So this is, this. You can see how it works. This is considered in the material world intelligent.
Yes.
But in reality, it on the material platform, yes. But on the spiritual platform, no. That's the point. Without the Lord's mercy, you know, coming through the devotees, one can't understand these things. Otherwise, one will just get caught up in whatever is the area of intelligence that you pride yourself in.
Yes.
You know, like that. Yes.
It seems that often intelligence and fault finding are confused on the material plane.
Well, the fault finding is a common use because you have to be intelligent to find fault. You know, at least if others are going to kind of think that there's at least something to work with there. You know. So then, but the point of fault finding is then if you found a fault in them, that puts you as better because you found the fault.
Yes.
That's why it's used as a method, because it puts you in a better place.
Is it also that you don't actually have to establish anything that works yourself?
No. Yeah, that's the point. That's the, I think it was called ad hominem. Mm-hmm. Like that. It just means instead of actual arguing, You just find the fault in the other person. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't actually discuss the topic, for on its own merit. So you just find a fault in the other person. You know, does that make sense? It's just like, let's say the two politicians are there and they're sitting, at the whatever it is, that hour, that live discussion during somebody's talk show or something, and they're sitting there. And so something's brought up, and so one says this and the other says that. But then at some point, as they say it, they'll catch a word that they can do with this logician is doing here. And so then they'll take, no, but you say this, but then when you were a kid, you did that. So how does that, supporting what you say? It's kind of like, that was like, 40 years ago? And so, hey, what has that got to do with the topic? So that's all. So it's very, very common. That's ad hominem is like...
eternal pastime.
Yeah, eternal pastime. It's the... how you say? The fault finders... the method of choice. Like that. No, this is not accepted. That it being, it's unbroken, but it's starting again, so it's a new pastime. This one's finished. This one began and finished. They want to stick to their words, began and finished. No, this is not accepted because one type of pastime becomes many by difference in time, but it is still one pastime. One can light the fire in the hearth twice, but there is only one fire. And one can say the word cow twice, but that does not mean there are two words to indicate a cow. Like that. This is logic so far beyond how we would even consider coming up with logic. It's so good, because they're coming from another plane, Because this other stuff, that is, your top-of-the-line logician, the opposition. But the points that the acharyas give are so simple and straightforward that, it's not something you would have ever even thought of.
Almost stupefying.
Yeah. There is only one fire and one word cow. Thus, there is only one form. One associate, one abode, and one pastime, which appear in many different places over time. Quote, the one Lord engaged in eternal pastimes enters the devotees and remains as many in their hearts. Mathara Shruti. This quotation from the Shruti supports the quotations given from Smriti. It's interesting, these shastras are quoting, or you've never even heard of them. So they were there at those times. And then sometimes they're even quoting from before, from Madhva, Ramanuja, Sridhar Swami, that they've seen them, but they're not even present, at the time of Jiva Goswami. Mm-hmm. Text 428. This is illustrated in the first canto, in the words of the inhabitants of Dwarka. Oh, how supremely glorified is the dynasty of King Yadu, and how virtuous is the land of Mathura, where the supreme leader of all living beings, the husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken his birth and still wanders in play. Srimad Bhagavatam 110.26. This quotation confirms the eternal nature of the pastimes. Though it is mentioned as the statement of the people of Dwarka, it is actually a statement by the people of Hastinapur. It is stated that they are Dwarka inhabitants because the inhabitants of Hastinapur are followers of the inhabitants of Dwarka. Kulam means dynasty. Medini says Kulam, Janapade, Gotre, Sajati, Yagane, Picha. Kulam means population, Gotra, and people of the same type. Nanda and Vasudeva were both in the dynasty of Yadu. So this is important. It's the technical aspects, but they're cultural elements and how they're used. If you appreciate that, one can really appreciate the scriptures. So you greatly limit your understanding of the scriptures if you limit that you'll only view the scriptures through the Western, cultural perspective.
you won't be able to see these things. So therefore, they won't come out in the translations. The land is virtuous because Krishna appeared there. He as the Amsi, excels over the three Purusha avatars. He is the dearest of Lakshmi, Radha, and Rukmini. He wanders about while playing. Text 429. The verb anchati in the present tense denotes the eternal nature of the pastimes in this statement by the inhabitants of Dwarka. Purport. The present tense is used to denote actions which have started and have not stopped. Right? So they're saying these things because they're going on. You don't have to refer to the Lord's pastimes as past tense.
Yes.
You say the Lord then lifted Govardhan, he did this, and you talk about it, it's happening now, and then he does this, he does that. Yes. We don't talk about it in the past.
It's not past tense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Not past tense. They're present time.
Future times.
Yeah, future times. But not modern times. Text 430. That Krishna's pastimes are eternal is also expressed in Sukadeva's statement. Lord Sri Krishna lives among the cowherd men and the Yadavas, and is conclusively both the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty and the cowherd men, and with his mighty arms he kills everything in us. Oh, this is that one. This is a very famous verse. It's one of the ones that I think you say when you get up in the morning and do stuff like that. It's used, it's a recommended verse. He kills everything unauspicious in Vraja, Mathura, and Dwarka. Something Jananivaso. Jayati Jananivaso, that's the verse. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert, and the suffering of separation of the inhabitants of Braja and Dwarka. His blissful smiling face always increases the desires of the gopis, of Vrindavan, and women of Mathura and Dwarka. He remains eternally in this situation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.90.48. Having spoken of the appearance of Krishna, Sukadev gave joy to King Parikit. Having spoken of the disappearance of Krishna, Sukadev gave joy to King Parikit, who was Krishna's unalloyed devotee, by reciting the conclusion about his pastimes. Oh, because 90 is the last chapter.
It must be one of the last verses.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's also why it's there, because it's like concludes the whole. Yeah. Pastimes. And it's also to having the pastime having concluded, say something, end on a nice note. So I end with sweet. Right? Gave joy to King Parikit, who is Krishna's unalloyed devotee, by reciting the conclusion about his pastimes. He reveals that Bhagavan Krishna, possessing the great pastimes narrated in the Bhagavatam, is present even today. You should not think otherwise by hearing his disappearance pastimes. Right? It's not that he's not present. He who appears invisible to the sight of common man still exists, increasing the prema of his dear women pained with intense love in Vraja and Dwarka. Krishna is known for taking birth from Devaki, daughter of Devaka, and from Yashoda. Adi Purana says Nanda's wife had two names, Yashoda and Devaki. He took the role of being her son. That's interesting. So Yashoda's another name is Devaki, so you can say he's born a Devaki.
Yeah.
So it works on all sides. He took the role of being her son. Right? See, these things are there not because the other is he's doing all these different things, but it's just for the logicians. So then they'll be quiet.
Yes.
You know, because they're just arguing over a point. They're not actually trying to appreciate the rasa and elements like that. To talk with the desire to know the truth is called vada. Thus, Krishna truly takes birth from Devaki and Yashoda. Yaduvara refers to Nanda's family. Right? So Vada is when you're discussing to understand the truth, right? So that you in other words, vada will end in siddhanta. So that's Krishna, that process of using the logic.
So are they really mayavads?
Are they really mayavads?
Mayavada is, are they trying to find the truth?
Not necessarily. No, their vada is maya.
Okay, yeah.
Right, because that's what the truth they're looking for is illusion. Because there isn't a truth as they ask, as so they're looking for.
It's not understood that they want to know what Maya is. That's not how.
No. It's that they're saying that what you know is it's Maya, yeah. Whatever you yeah. like that. Because yeah. it can also it'll have other meanings. Mm. Also, in the way of just your. Okay. Yeah. Thus, Krishna truly takes birth from Devaki and Yashoda. Yadavara refers to Nanda's family as well as Vasudeva's family. He possessed both families and their followers. He destroys the Dharma and with his associates in Brajas, such as Sridhama, and in Dwarka with Satyaki and others who act like his arms. When Sugadeva recited the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna had already disappeared. Therefore, because he used the present tense, it must only mean that the pastimes of Krishna are eternal. But also in this, because in reading it, then one might, you know, look at this and that. The point is it's all that's all one element, right? Because they're the same aspect, different flavors. So the vishesha makes them different, just like the difference between Krishna and Vishnu. It's vishesha. Like that. So then the pastimes in Braja and the pastimes in Dwarka, because that's what's described in the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because Mathura is part of the Dwarka scene. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. Therefore, because they use the present tense of it. And then Nanda Baba is connected with Mathura, so they're all the same group. Text 431 and 432. In the Mathura Kanda of the Skanda Purana, Narada speaks to Yudhishthira. Krishna plays with the calves and older calves within Vrindavan, surrounded by Balaram and other boys. When Nanda and Yudhishthira were speaking together, Krishna was living in Dwarka. Thus, speaking in the present tense about Krishna playing in Vrindavan shows that the pastimes are eternal. Right? He didn't say Krishna was playing. Krishna plays with the calves and older calves within Vrindavan, surrounded by Balaram and the other boys. So he's speaking by sequence, Krishna was in Dwarka. But Narada is explaining the pastimes to Yudhishthira in the present tense. Okay, text 433. Rudra speaks to Parvati in the Padma Purana, Patala Kanda. Mathura Mandala, where Krishna resides, is fortunate. All the devatas and sages desire to live there always. The associates of the lords in his pastimes are cowherd people such as Nanda, the Yadavas, the Devatas such as Brahma, Indra, Kuvera, Nalakuvara, and Manigriva, sages such as Narada and Danavas such as Keshi, snakes like Kaliya, and Yakshas like Shankachuda. Oh, Shankachuda was a Yaksha. The pastimes involve associates of the Lord. Thus they are mentioned here. In the eternal Dhamma, those starting with Danuja, Keshi, are spiritual energies, just like Durga in the spiritual world. It has already been stated that there is no trace of matter in the spiritual world. Nayatra Maya, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.10. Because there are no material qualities there, the pastimes in the spiritual world involving demons are imitative only. Because we'll see that in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, because they'll be discussing the Goloka pastimes. So there with the demons, then the demons aren't killed. But here, they're actually demons and they're killed. So that's why it says the pastimes of killing the demons are only here. It's not that the pastimes with the demons is not there, right? So when he's, and then when you say no, but then it said there are no demons. Yes, there's no living entities that are inimical to the Lord. These are associates of the Lord. So does that make sense? So there's a difference, but they're the same.
Like a drama.
Sorry.
Like a drama.
With.
Like a drama.
Like a drama. Yes. Well, that's what pastime means. It's a drama anyway. Because the point is to be able to express something. Yes, it's not about the thing. We tend to, because of the masculine nature of wanting to control and enjoy, we tend to look at the situations. But if we look at how it means the feminine nature, the idea of doing something is not about what you're doing. It's about the interaction that can be gained in doing it. So when the men get too serious about just doing the mechanics of the action, the women get disturbed. Right? So that's the thing, we have to be very careful of that. We do it because of the idea I'm the controller. You know, so then you go through, you control, you enjoy like that. But it's about that. So it's not a matter of that element of logic, though it can be explained very nicely, but that's not the reason for it. It just works. It's an opportunity to express and interact. And so then unlimited variety of positions are created so that all these different pastimes can be tasted in so many different ways. Right? It means you have the major elements of Krishna getting up and having breakfast and going out with the coward boys and then with the gopis and coming back with the coward boys and then sitting with Nanda and Yashoda again and then going out with the gopis and then coming back in the morning. But then within that, there's always, each aspect has so many varieties and each one will have certain major common pastimes, and then they'll be the ones that are, how do you say, details. Does that sound like sense? Yes.
Maharaj, how is the Tivaloka when everything like night and Lord is taking Krishna, how is the idea of demon coming up or
what is pleasing, what pleases Krishna? Right? Rasa. So this is a way to exchange rasa. Because the point is if everything's nice, then how do you balance everything being nice? By something not being nice. You know, it's just like this. Let us say the lady in the house, on a day she has nothing to do, no one's around, no one's going to see her, and she is wearing her sari. Okay? Right? Okay. Now this same lady, when there's a festival and she's going to the temple, what's she going to wear? Yes. Okay. Now, means but not much difference. Okay? Now, let's say the lady is at the house on that same situation and she is wearing some really ratty stuff. Okay, now when it comes to a festival, how does she dress? In other words, of the two, who's going to dress fancier on the festival day? The first one or the second one? Yeah, you understand? So how far you take the one, you have to have the other. It's natural. Does that make sense? It's very strange. No, because otherwise, it's so good, you have to have something not, you know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just the way it works. It's just, you know. Therefore, you know, the French have made the, what do you call it? You know, those little dinky Citroens or something, you know? When you get tired of riding around in your Ferraris and Lamborghinis and that, then you go for a ride in the Citroen. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're always going to the fancy, you know, these big three-star restaurants and this and that, and so then you just go out and sit in the countryside or just sit on a bench, and you know, that's always the balance. You always have to have the balance.
You know what I'm saying? So when you hear about, you know, those who are only living just that fancy high life, you only hear about men doing that. You don't hear about women doing that. Because women will do something else to create change. The man, he has his, whatever he's in, he's only in that. He won't do something different. Nishta. Looking at the bright side, yes. But that's the thing, you combine these two, is one element is fixed and one is can move, then it works nicely. But if when it moves, the nishta moves, yes, there's a problem. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing. No matter how much it goes out one way or the other, the central is fixed. It works.
Since I'm just face Spanish.
Yes. 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 So you even see on the platform of energies, they only really relate to the Madhyama platform.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, 435. The pastimes are of two types, those in the material world and those in the spiritual world. Krishna is performing his pastimes with unlimited manifestations, unseen to the world at all times. Sometimes within the material world he performs pastimes starting with his appearance along with his associates, using one manifestation of pastimes among his many manifestations of pastimes. Purport. Krishna performs his pastimes having unlimited manifestations, invisible to the material world at all times. Among all his different manifestations, with one manifestation he performs pastimes within the material world, or it can mean in Vrindavan within the universe, along with his associates. Because you say, within the material world, but that means the material meaning the Mahatattva. But it actually means in Vrindavan within the universe. So in other words, he only performs his pastimes in the spiritual world. He just does it within his pastimes in Vrindavan within the universe. And here he uses within the universe, not the material world. Right? 437,
Maharaj,
yes.
This is why when he came to the material world, he came with the spiritual world.
Yes. So Vrindavan is always spiritual. So the pastimes are always going on. It's just at some point they become prakat. We can see him like that. Not apricot. 437. The pastime energy, Lila Shakti, according to the mood of Krishna, manifests various emotions among the associates. So that's what Lila Shakti is doing. Because you're creating all these emotions. Right? Purport. How is it that associates such as Brahma perform actions unfavorable to the Lord? Their particular moods follow after Krishna's actions. They think, even if we act unfavorably to Krishna, let us become unfavorable, since our master's pastime should be accomplished. End quote. The Lord's Lila Shakti then makes them unfavorable. Thus, there is nothing really contrary in their mood towards the Lord. Right, so we can explain the Brahma Vimohan Lila so that the, you know, mudvas, you know, should be satisfied, you know, like that. Because it's not that he's under illusion, that's arranged by the Lila Shakti.
Similar with Shiva and Murtimurti?
Yes. That's why Shiva, you know, it wasn't that he was in Maya. It was that he's Purusha. And so that means he doesn't get distracted by anything mundane. So it doesn't matter what goes on. He's in control, you know. But here, he can be controlled by Krishna's, you know, Maya. Right? So in other words, Shiva can control his Maya, which is, you know, Durga. But Krishna's Maya can control him. Right? So that's what he's then at the end going, wow, you know, Krishna's so powerful. He can do. Yeah. He does it in such a funny way, you know, just you know, to how you say, show the supreme position of the Lord.
you know.
Yes. Should we be careful with describing it as in such a funny way, because there's this risk that people will see it as mundane?
You always have to be see the mood. You have to be very careful. So there may be times it's lighter, sometimes it's more serious, sometimes it's that. But it's because when it's presented, it's quite sober, the presentation.
Yeah.
And generally, because it uses so many direct terminologies to, you know, masculine, feminine, conjugal interactions, when you go through these particular verses, you know, in the temple room with the devotees, it's like everybody's quiet, nobody says anything, they're just kind of waiting until you move to the next chapter.
Yeah.
So it's always fun to stop in between, start talking, and everybody's like that. It's good.
I gave class on that verse in England 3 times, or that Leela 3 times, and it was just, every time it was just the most heavy verse. You know?
Yeah.
Just like you're saying. They were just like,
everybody's quiet.
Yeah.
So that's the fun part.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is because Shiva's not materially attached, Krishna's not materially attached, there's nothing material going on here.
Yes.
So just the mechanics of how rasa works and this and the, like that. So then it becomes very interesting. Verse 438. The pastimes visible to the material world are called revealed or prakat. Those pastimes not visible to the material world are called invisible or aprakat. The difference between the two types, purport, the difference between the two types of pastimes is now described. 439. Tatra prakata lilayam eva shyatam gama gamo gokule matorayam cha dvaravatyam cha sharm gina. In the revealed pastimes, Krishna will come and depart from Goloka, or Gokula, Mathura, and Dwarka. Sharngina means the holder of the horn. It is derived from Shringa, horn. It would be inappropriate to describe Krishna in Gokula with a bow, which is the other meaning of Sharngin. Thus, Krishna is described as carrying a flute or horn in Vrindavan. Because the flute he's always carrying, but he also, as a coward boy, they carry buffalo horns, right? You know, to call each other or to, you know, have some fun like that. So I guess the element, the idea of the chauffeur being, I say, sacred. It's, you know, it comes from there. The only difference is it's a sheep horn, ram horn, instead of a buffalo horn.
Yeah.
Maybe they wouldn't be able to fit him into the, you know, I say, the tabernacle, because they're too big. But you do get short buffalo horns.
But they don't have buffaloes in the area.
That's true. No buffaloes. That's true. Okay. What you do? You got to be practical, right? No buffaloes, then you use a goat horn and a sheep horn. 440. Though the revealed pastimes become invisible after some time, they exist with invisible form. This is stated repeatedly in verses such as Jayati Janani Vaso. That's the verse. That previous verse was Jayati Janani Vaso. The pastimes present within the universe will all be destroyed when there is a final dissolution. Thus, the pastimes are not eternal. Right? This guy's not going to give up. This verse answers that argument. No, that is mistaken. Though the pastimes are not visible in the universe, the invisible pastimes are not destroyed. The mistake is like destroying a brahmana sika and saying the brahmana has been destroyed. Yeah, well, that's good. Otherwise, you know, the brahmachari is there shaving and that, someone calls them and looks back and then there's nobody there. What happened? You shaved off a sika. Okay. Yeah, it's like you've shaved off the sika, and then you say the brahmana has been destroyed. The brahmana is still there, just the sika you don't see. But the sika is the manifestation of the brahmana, so that's the part you appreciate. Then you know, oh, he's a brahmana because he has the sika.
But actually, the Brahmana is there, whether the seeker is manifest or not.
It's a symptom.
Yeah. I'm just catching this as we go along. You have all these things there. So easily, if you just take them and turn them a little bit, then they would very much support the concept of, you know, we don't need the Vedic culture, the Western culture. Oh, okay. You know, it's all basic. Because the point is, principle is principle. It's just what's the intent of applying the principle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. That's the, yes, where the difference lies.
What did the illusion say?
Yeah, hey, say about the secret, he's still a Brahmin. Hey.
I heard it at the Gurukul.
Yeah, right. Okay, text 141. When the portions of the Devatas through the order of Brahma appeared on earth, the portions of Vasudeva and others such as Kasyapa were residing in Svarga, merged with Vasudeva, and others who were their Amsi of the eternal pastimes took birth from Surasena and others. Purport. This verse explains how the manifested pastimes take place. Brahma gave the following order according to Bhagavatam. While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Kirodakshaya Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively, without delay. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.21. Before we submit our petition to the Lord, he was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish his burden by his own potency in the form of time, all of you demigods should appear through plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadu, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.22. So here the pastime is being taken place. They're being given orders to appear. Interesting inside here is that he was already aware of the distress on earth, because otherwise if they go there and then they tell him and he didn't know, then there'll be the doubt. Well, then how is he the supreme? Mm-hmm. He should know. Yeah. So then you say this thing, he already knew. But the point is he's interacting with you because you've come to him. And at the same time, as he says here, is that consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish his burden by his own potency in the form of time. So, I mean, the time element can remove it. He's there in his pastimes to interact with the devotees. Time will correct all the other things anyway. When portions of the devatas appear on earth, the portions of the eternal associates, such as Vasudeva, Nanda, and others, secondary forms, such as Kasyapa and Droni, merged with the eternal associates, Vasudeva and Nanda. When Vasudeva and Nanda took birth on earth from Surasena, Parjanya, and others, they took names like Vasudeva and Nanda, but are actually eternal associates of Krishna. Thus, in the Padma Purana, Krishna says to Satyabhama, by the prayers of Brahma, all the devatas and the devatas, I have appeared. All my associates have been born along with me. O beautiful woman, all the Yadavas are my associates. They are dear to me and possess qualities equal to mine. Padma Purana, Patalakanda, 89.22. Vyasa says to Ambarish, look, I will show you my form not revealed in the Vedas. O king, I then saw a young boy, the color of a rain cloud, surrounded by young cowherd women, laughing with coward boys and men. Padma Purana, Patalakanda 73.18. Because remember, Vyasadeva in this form is Vishnu Tattva. So he's showing a form that has not been revealed in the Vedas. So that he shows up. So when his eternal associates come, those who are the parts, the devatas and that, then they come and they are within them. And then they themselves that are playing that part. But the ones like the parents of Krishna, then you have all these other aspects, and so then they all come and are part of the eternal associates. Mm-hmm. So that's why then in Gorganudesh Deepika, then it will be telling who like Sachimata is or Jagannath Mishra, and there'll be all anybody who was ever in the Leelas, past in the different Leelas, were parents of the Lord. Right, so Kasyapa and Aditi, you know, this, what is it, Drona and, I forget, what is it? Yeah, Kasyapa and Droni. Droni is, Unless Droni is another name, or maybe Droni is another of the wives. Mm-hmm. But there's various parents.
Devahuti.
Hmm? Sorry?
Kasyapa and
Devahuti. Kasyapa and Devahuti. Yes, it means, yeah, so like that. So they're all parents of the Lord. But when the Lord comes here as Swayam, then that means all who are Amsi of Him, then all their parents are, you know, part of the parents who are Krishna's parents.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Just as Krishna expands as his Amsi, as a particular avatar, so Nanda and Yashoda expand as these other varieties of parents for those Amsi avatars. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so here it's in the inverse, then they come back.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it comes from there here, but then it goes from here back. So it always appears that way, because that's the fun. Means if you're so, it's just like someone who's not so great, or someone who has that element of there's a certain level of greatness when someone's so great and so stable and so accepted, then it's fun being not noticed. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, then they'd like to be noticed. It's about being noticed that's important. But if you're so well established, then not being noticed is also fun, you know. So I mean, being noticed works; it's just standard. But not being noticed, then that's also that you can move around. People don't notice you. You know, I say the celebrities like dream. Like.
You could wear a Muslim burqa.
That could probably work, but then you might get, you know, having some other guys and other little. Funny, also suits coming along, and it might not work out so good. That's where very oversized sunglasses and very large silk scarves come in handy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
442. The Supreme Lord of Pastimes, of whom the Lord of Vaikuntha. Is the Supreme Lord of Pastimes, of whom the Lord of Vaikuntha is his vilas expansion, desired to appear in Gokula and Mathura, first made Sankarsana appear, containing with himself the rest of the vyuhas. He appeared in the heart of Vasudeva. Purport. This verse explains how Krishna made his appearance after his elders made their appearance in the world. He desired to appear in Gokula and Mathura, containing within himself the other members of the Vyuha, Prajumna Nadi Ruda. He appeared in the heart of Vasudeva. Avi me shamsha bhagena mana anakadundubi. He appeared with his amsa in the mind of Vasudeva, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.16. It's interesting here. Then here is that Shankarshan came as Balaram, and he came with Prajumna and Aniruddha. Right? So, do we see some significance in this? Because then you have Vasudeva, Prajumna, and Aniruddha in one form. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? Any perspective of how, as Gaudiyas, we see these three forms? We always discuss these three forms and refer to these three forms. No?
Madan Mohan.
Yeah, and Gopinath. Yeah, Madan Mohan, because he's the attractive. Mm-hmm. Right, then Vasudeva is Govinda. And Aniruddha is Gopinath. Mm. So that's why you always, when you refer to Krishna and Vrindavan, you always refer to these three deities.
Right.
Because outside of Vrindavan, generally, then they're manifest as separate personalities. So if they're not, then you understand the three are with Krishna and Balaram, so on and so on. Because he creates a situation, and then rasa is tasted in the situation. So rasa is these three.
Right.
Right? Does that make sense?
Mm.
So it works very nicely.
Another way of looking at Krishna Balaram on the altar is that they're the Chaturvyuha.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oops. Okay.
image. And when Ramachandra came to also the Chaturjiva.
Yes, also Chaturjiva. And Krishna and Dwarka, then you have Chaturjiva. Like that. So only Mathura, then they're not there, and in Vrindavan they're not there. Because you see in Mathura still that attractiveness, that all those things are still very much part of the scene. But he has four arms, so it's a very kind of unique situation.
Is there any connection between the Chaturvyuha and the Panchatattva?
Chaturvyuha and the Panchatattva. Means the, how do you say, Lord Chaitanya would be Vasudev, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Nityananda is Sankarshan, and then his expansion of the Dvaitacharya will also be Sankarshan. Mm-hmm. But there's a mood difference. Yeah, because Mahavishnu is a mood difference. Because
yeah.
The Lord of Vaikuntha is one mood, but the Lord of the Mahat is a different mood.
Yeah.
And the creator, maintainer, destroyer. Well, Vaikuntha, the Lord doesn't have that mood.
Yeah. But, and Gadadhara Shakyatattva and
the yes. Yeah. Because here we were only discussing the Vishnu.
Yeah.
So you get the same thing is there.
Yeah.
So all you've done here is divided, taken the whole total cosmic creation in this case. Here, just within the pastime, you don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Janyatai Gaurapengadanti
Hare Bo.